Hello, welcome to the Snap UK. I'm your host.
Hello, welcome to this new children's podcast.
It's the last one of the season, John. Come on.
I feel bad because I grinned at him like an inane idiot, and it's my fault. I'm really sorry.
So I'm Johnny. I'm here with Griff.
Hello,
Jim yes. And some cunt. Paul can't be with us because
he has a wife.
He has a wife and family and stuff.
Jim, you have a wife and family, but you had a fight, and you also had your wedding anniversary and Valentine's on back days. How did that go?
It went well, actually.
Because you're still here.
I also have a wife and family, but not for much longer, because as John just made clear, I'm a cunt.
To be fair, my wife and family are now in a different country, so we're good.
Winner. There you go.
Sounds like a place to be.
Well, it's our last show of the season. It's the Super Bowl review. It was, I can't remember the end, final score in the end. It was
38-35.
I remember it was one above our script.
34-37.
34-37.
It's all about the script. This script.
The actual script was 37-34 that apparently got leaked as well, wasn't it?
There you go. They had to make a rewrite right at the end.
If nothing, it proved that we were fairly accurate with our analysis. Yes. Which is basically for us.
And it all came down to the punter, which is what we suggested. So, 35-38.
Reality and
None of us are in a good spot right now.
Very tired. But what I've discovered is we're all too tired to recover from staying off the Super Bowl and then going to work.
Yeah, we're all. Yeah,
I'm nearly 40. I had two nights out in three nights, and it was really tough.
Yeah, same. I was out Saturday night.
A cold. I'm doing speech bubbles. Like a cold. A 3 day cold.
I mean, the only highlight of the last few days is one cream pie.
Oh, Kirsty's cream pie.
Delicious. Amazing.
It was wonderful.
And Jim's argument with Vernon Kay.
Oh, yeah, it turns out Vernon Kay is a coward.
He is a coward.
Doesn't like us. Doesn't like the off season, apparently.
Doesn't like the off season?
No. He said, boo, it's 7 months till the NFL kicks off again. I was like, celebrate. It's the off season. So team building, draft, free agency. He's like, bore off.
Oh.
So obviously, not a big fan of the NFL.
I don't really understand.
That's, I mean,
as half of the intrigue, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
As well, as someone who wants to make a living from the NFL, to then go the 7 months of the season, of the off season, I'm not involved. You're like, well, maybe.
I think there may have been drink involved. Not from Jim.
The fact that he deleted your interaction very quickly.
All of his stuff. He deleted the entire thread. Not just Jim's comments.
Right, okay.
He took off the entire lot. Mine as well. I personally added.
He was a bit nuts.
To support Jim.
So you should invite Vernon to come on and make amends, really.
We did.
No, he can bore off.
Yeah. So you say you don't understand Vernon Kay, but I don't understand, what's her name, Tess Daly.
It's a fair point.
I understand Vernon Kay. For a man from Bolton, he's done very well for himself.
Didn't he also... Anyway. You're not invited.
Let's move on to the game.
That was a Super Bowl.
Like, literally one of the best Super Bowls we've seen in...
It was the best Super Bowl since the last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, which the Eagles-Patriots one I thought was a more fun game. But I think this was dull fun.
Back and forth all the time. Second highest combined score in a Super Bowl all time.
Only lacked a little bit of defense, didn't it?
I don't mind that.
But there was only one punt, wasn't there? You know, obviously we know the Eagles didn't get to Mahomes. They did once, really, but you know,
they never sacked him all game.
You know, one tackle that caused his injury to flare up. But
I thought
that defense, you know, that'd be the only disappointment. I think some.
I thought the defensive plan of the Chiefs, I thought that was really good. I thought it was bend, don't break. I thought they bottled up the Eagles' running game almost completely, bar Jalen Hurts. Like,
Jalen Hurts, 70 yards and 10 rushing first downs on his own.
Yeah. If you take that out, in total, including Jalen Hurts, 70 yards, in total they had 115 yards.
And what was their average since the start of 2021?
153.6
per game.
Oh,
that
was pretty close.
So it did come down a little bit to the Chiefs forcing Jalen Hurts to play quarterback. Now, Jalen Hurts had the game of his life. Yeah. Like, if there's one person, I've been the biggest detractor, he's been brilliant this season. That was an amazing game from Jalen Hurts.
So quickly, some of his long passes.
Some of his long passes were brilliant.
Before you move past this point, this is a very eminent point. Currently, better than Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Currently, how close to being Josh Allen?
Ooh.
I think he's better than Josh Allen.
I don't know.
I think he's more consistent than Josh Allen.
He's got a better team around him. Mm. So I think that's the biggest difference. Like if you give Josh Allen that offensive line, that run game, and those wide receivers, if you switch the quarterbacks. Yeah. Mm.
But Josh Allen probably makes the Eagles over the over. He makes bad decisions at the wrong times.
He does, but I feel like he's forced into it because the team aren't as good.
I really think there is very little between them. Yeah. If you ask me who to take right now, I think I'd have to take Hurts.
I would struggle to disagree. I think they're on a par right now. Like you say, the fact that they're on different teams makes it difficult to assess. But it was a question that hit me on the drive home after the Super Bowl was, where is he right now?
We didn't discuss that.
Yeah, but I was thinking all the way back. This is why
just ignored me in the passenger seat.
I had a long way to go from your house to my house.
Yeah, no, but it is a fair point.
And he was drunk as fuck.
Yeah, that's true. But while you're talking about
don't drink and drive.
Patrick Mahomes proving that he is far and away the best quarterback in the league. He just is. This is better than peak Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
He's light years above of anyone else in the league. I mean, if you were to say he's the best of all time as a quarterback, I'd have to say maybe. You know,
make an argument for it.
Well, if you look at his numbers at 27 versus Brady's, he's got like double the touchdowns. Yeah. They've both had two Super Bowls,
MVPs.
Super Bowl MVPs. But then he's obviously got two MVP seasons as well. He's got like 24,000 yards. It's Brady got like 100,000 in like 18 years or 22 years or something. So it is ridiculous. He is on pace for like
but we've said it before. Numbers. I hate to be the one that has to defend him here, but Brady's career has had three Super Bowl MVP chunks
He's got three.
So the longevity in itself makes it difficult to assess over everyone else. Yeah, Montana is the next one that you assess in the same category. Yeah, Mahomes has got to do this again and again. Otherwise, he's going to slip back to be Aaron Rodgers as opposed to jump up and be Tom Brady.
He's already above Aaron Rodgers in my mind just based on the fact that he's got more Super Bowl rings, but also with those rings, he's also got the performances as a quarterback throughout the season. Well, the guy's been to five AFC Championship games in a row. Every season he's played, they're getting to the AFC Championship.
Isn't he the first player since Kurt Warner in 1999 to get like all of the awards in one season?
Certainly the first one to win the MVP and the Super Bowl.
I'm sure he's also 1999.
He's the first ever quarterback to lead the league in passing yards and win the Super Bowl in one season.
Really?
Never been done before.
Crazy, isn't it?
He's mad, but he's
a man who's turned Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius Toney into standout players, and that wasn't pointed at you. It's just Kadarius Toney was brilliant. Juju Smith-Schuster was brilliant.
Kadarius Toney's punt return was
I wonder how long before we get bored of it.
Yeah,
like when does he become Brady and Schumacher, Man United? These sort of Goliaths that actually. Like, want to see humbled.
The thing is, he plays the game.
He's so
in such a way.
So entertaining.
Whereas, Brady was Brady, wasn't he? Yeah, like, where's Gronk? 10 yards. I know he does it to Kelsey, but, you know, he's the number one scrambling quarterback of all time. He's got the highest passing rate of any quarterback scrambling ever. So, he doesn't just stand there, does he? And just do really boring things. Like, even as someone who wants to beat them, you want your team to beat them, but he's just brilliant. Like,
even his
Brady was efficient and effective and brilliant at winning titles, but you didn't always enjoy watching the Patriots. And, you know, Andy Reid is a really nice guy, comes across really well. Bill Belichick, always a massive dickhead. So it doesn't really help, does it?
Do you not think that the true test of Mahomes will be when Andy Reid goes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Of course it will be. Because whoever takes over, it's going to take time to adjust. But until that time, the two of them, they've just taken over
from where Brady and Belichick left off. If you're Andy Reid, why would you go? He must be having...
His heart is 98 years old.
But he must be having so much fun coaching such a talented player. He's probably... I don't know if he said this or not, but I'm sure he's the most talented player he's ever had.
I can't believe there's another player, but the new Belichick Brady is Reid Mahomes.
Yeah.
They have absolutely stepped into that vacuum that's created.
They've already started to use the word dynasty. I'm not sure they're there yet, but certainly one
You need to Super win Bowl. Three yeah. in so many years yeah, to exactly. be a dynasty.
I think you're absolutely there. They're on the cusp of it.
Well, they'll be favourites for next season.
They already are, yeah.
And that's fair enough. We should mention the other standout players on the Chiefs team, though. I want to give the award for, if there was an award for most important play of the game without being flashy, it was Jerick McKinnon going down at the 1 yard line rather than rushing in for a great. Super Bowl
Again,
touchdown.
Great coaching.
The smartest play of the week.
The smartest play of the season.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to give Sweetest plays anymore.
No, that's
true. No, I like the title, though. Yeah. But yeah.
No longer sponsored by Toot Sweet because they've gone bust. Well done. But that, because that was a player's opportunity to put themselves on a Super Bowl highlight reel for all time. And instead, he slid.
Team first.
I mean, he was so close to being in, but he wasn't in. And so he avoided doing the, was it Todd Gurley?
Yeah. So Mark Bradshaw as well.
Yeah, there's been a few players. And yet he was unopposed because the Eagles knew at this point they had to give it up.
It's good coaching for the Eagles as well. Yeah. They were like, run in. Like,
if he'd have gone in then, there'd have been best part of 2 minutes on the clock.
I think it was 1:50 or 1:30, something like that. Yeah, but yeah, it was they also had a timeout as well at that point. They had to use the timeout when Holmes knelt as well. My standout player, Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was brilliant.
Obviously he got the fumble recovery and touchdown, but led the Chiefs in terms of tackles and was just
he was always there.
Always there.
It was an interesting one actually because, you know, Hurts had a great game. We know that.
Yeah.
And everyone talked a lot about being the first quarterback to get 3 rushing touchdowns in a Super Bowl. But they were mainly from the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
They weren't real touchdowns. You know, anyone could have been holding that ball and being thrown over.
I don't know. Like, he reminds me of Cam. Like, he's the way he moves, he's so big. I think, I know it is from the 1 yard line. But the amount of times you see running backs, you know, taking a running start and still hit the line and do not get there. The way they do it is smart, and he's just big. He's just a big fucker. And
they do get four blokes behind him as well.
My
point is, I think quite a few people on that team could probably get those touchdowns. But he recovered really well from the fumble, but it wasn't talked about a lot because he wasn't touched when he fumbled that ball.
He was all on him.
He was shocked by the pass rush, wasn't he?
And he just dropped the ball. And that's the thing. Even though at halftime, you know, the Eagles were ahead, Mahomes looked injured, the only turnover in the entire game was that fumble. And it did bring them back into it.
Oh, yeah.
That and that punt return were really key. And then obviously there's some other bits, you know, we'll probably come on to around kind of...
I mean, the Chiefs came out firing in the second half. I mean, the second half...
Touchdown.
Yeah. They needed to be perfect, and they were.
Absolutely were. And it's
Do you know what I like? I liked that he had the fumble, and the first play, he just runs it again. Yeah. And you're like, actually, I think there's a player who's mentally fit for this game. Like, you know, you can see that nothing much phases him, and the way he played afterwards, I kind of like that. You know, like you remember Cam dropping the ball, and then not diving on it, losing the Super Bowl, and his career went to shit after that. Like, it was never the same, and I don't think you're gonna, you know, I don't think you're gonna get much of a reaction from Hurts at least going forward.
Are we allowed to talk about the catch rule now? And what is a catch? Because there was one, what I believe was a second turnover in this game.
Yeah, I still.
When the ball was clearly caught. And I know he didn't move anywhere, but like.
Now.
I've caught the ball playing rugby before, and like when it was in my hands.
He had it into.
Two hands.
By the letter of the law.
It wasn't a catch.
It wasn't a catch. But yeah, he had it in two hands and had it for a beat or two. And just because he didn't move or make a movement at all. Like a step, it's ruled an incomplete pass.
He wasn't really in the air, he was on the floor as well.
Yeah.
He was on 2 feet, had the ball in his hands. I don't see how it's not a catch.
That's, you got an issue with the rules.
That is an issue with the rules.
But I'm going to keep saying today, the thing is consistency.
Yeah.
But consistently, I've seen things like that, and it is always caught as a drop pass. So I don't have an issue with it. My issue is with the rules and but
I would say that was more of a catch than Dallas
Goddard. Even though Dallas Goddard catch and pass was amazing,
yep.
it didn't look like a completed
catch. He didn't look like he had full
control. I suspect with the Goddard catch, he had Tyreed it against his helmet, and we weren't seeing all of the replays because it looked to us like he had neither hand on the ball. Yeah. But he must have been holding it because the ball didn't move.
He Tyreed it on the helmet and then regained control. So they said he had control and then had the step. So
it was
balls, and we can't say much about it because they reviewed it.
Yeah.
And it went to the thing. So
as we know with VAR this week, reviewing things on replay does not necessarily mean you reach the correct decision. Application of difficult rules is difficult because you've still got human error.
But this has been the conversation in the NFL for what, the last 10, 20
since
years?
Since Des Bryant?
Yeah. Since that Des Bryant catch. Yeah.
What's a catch?
And that was a catch.
I don't think anyone can really say what a catch is anymore.
No.
I disagree. I think we can sit at a table. It's the same rule I've said with VAR and anything else. If four or five blokes sit at a table, you just go, what do you think? Everyone goes,
and we all sat here on Sunday night. I'd say most of us thought, that's not a catch.
Yep. The Goddard one.
The Goddard one.
But then for the turnover, for the fumble, we all said,
we all thought it was a
he's
catch.
Caught that. Now, like John says, the rules state you have to make a football move, and he didn't.
Yeah, we all didn't. We all thought it would get overturned.
But
we all thought it was a catch.
Yeah,
and this is a strange comparison. But if this was a cricket match, then he just caught the ball, and that person's out because he caught the ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
You only have to catch it; it just has to stop. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
If you then fall over and drop it, you've still caught it.
Yeah.
So, it's a strange one. The rules are not.
It's the rules. Good. We have an issue with the rules.
Yeah.
But I say the Goddard one, I guess. You know, I don't have much. I thought the Devontae Smith one was a catch, and I don't know why you'd give the Goddard one, but not the Devontae Smith one, which was overturned. I thought that was
because it was straight after, and they weren't
sure. No, but it was the Devontae Smith one was before.
That's what I'm saying. So then they gave the Goddard one.
And yeah, I don't know if it, but it's just inconsistency.
Yeah,
and it fucking annoys me.
So while we're talking about rules,
yeah.
You guys were debating, what are they going to do about the fact that you can't stop the Eagles from a yard on fourth down with their quarterback sneak?
Everyone else needs to be better.
I agree with John, but...
I've never begrudged this play because they do it and it's part of the rules and they're brilliant at it and that's good coaching, that's good scheme playing, but I do think the NFL are going to do something about
it. So it's a bit, it reminds me of when the Seahawks got very good of jumping the line for a punt
or a kick
and blocking it. Now... No one actually got injured in that play, but they said, this could cause an injury to the centre.
This could cause an injury as well.
You're not allowed to pull a runner, but you are allowed to push. And as up until recently, you weren't allowed to push either. That's still quite a recent change. I think that's going to be the rule. You're not allowed to push a runner.
Yeah, I don't know why they need to change it.
I don't see why they need to change it. And actually, the way that...
You're both right. Other teams should get better at it and figure out how to defend against it.
Or use it.
The problem is if
they're showing you, here's how to gain a yard 94% of the time.
Well, that's fine. Nick it. It's how do you stop it, though? Because if you end up players getting just so low in an uncontrolled way, it's going to be very difficult. And I think
it's going to be like if a scrum collapses, there's going to be a risk of a net.
There is some risk there. And the thing is, what will happen is teams will have to flood the line, then they'll just, you know, literally...
They did that a couple of times during the season.
Exactly, just tossed it to the outside. So, I don't know, I think they'll look at it because it just... The league don't want anything that's 94% successful, apart from Justin Tucker.
Which is why they moved the extra points back.
Yeah.
I get that, I do get that. But don't forget as well, this is a blip. Most teams are only executing this at 80%.
Yeah.
And you have to allow teams to just... get through that stage. Eagles aren't always going to be this good. If Jason Kelce retires, they will drop off incredibly.
Yeah.
But because he's the best centre in the league right now.
Yeah.
And he makes this for Jalen Hurts. So if he goes, that 94 becomes 84 and everyone goes, it's just normal. So the league should just let it play out. It's been one season, maybe two, that you could say they've been unstoppable, in quotes.
Yeah.
If it gets to five or six, they might change it. But they shouldn't just...
Let's make Mahomes play with lead in his boots because he's too good.
I'm with John.
I agree with both of you as well. I'm not,
the whole thing's marginal games. No, I know you're not. I just think it's...
That's what the NFL does.
I keep seeing it mentioned and I just think, it's up to everyone else to catch up.
Well, and this brings me back circling round to... So you were saying how long before we get fed up with watching Mahomes and Reed win everything. Now, the reason... And over time, you guys all got fed up with the Patriots. But it took 20 years, give or take, because they didn't win six in a row, did they? They won two, then they won another two, but then they won
seven,
one.
7 years without...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Between his first two and the third years, one, it was a long time.
You also cheated, which just helps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think some of the hate...
People hate the way the Patriots went about it. I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is the NFL isn't set up for someone to win four in a row. No. Like, it just isn't going
to
happen.
Set up to do the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And we have seen that quite a lot lately. Teams coming out of nowhere and win now.
Yeah. You know, Bengals last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it's likely to be an issue. Even if the Chiefs win it again next year, the chance of them winning three in a row. What was the last team? Has anybody ever won it three in a row?
It's never been done.
Cowboys won it three out of four, didn't they?
Yeah. Chiefs have been to three out of the last four Super Bowls, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost 1-1-2.
49ers won two in a row, went to the championship game the third year and lost.
The Bills went four in a row and lost every single one.
Yeah. But the Niners did it before free agency. And it's so hard to do now.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do now. Yeah, the Bills did it before free
Steelers
agency.
Steelers won twice in a row.
Twice in a row.
In the 70s, yeah.
But it's so hard to do now you've got free agency. It just won't happen. And that is why I don't think people do get... Like Schumacher winning five on the trot or whoever else.
Ferrari,
Hamilton winning 76 titles in a row.
Yeah.
Because the rules are there to just allow the team spending the most money to win it. And it doesn't work like that in the NFL because anybody can leave.
It is interesting.
Are we going to talk about the hold?
James Bradbury hold.
It was a hold.
I agree. And James Bradbury also agrees and has come out and said... In any other game, it was a hold. I thought they would let it go, is what he said.
Yeah.
But they didn't let it go. And they weren't wrong. It's just it was the only holding penalty of the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's my... Have I mentioned consistency?
You've been quite consistent.
Very consistent in your mentioning of it.
And as I said, I'm not angry.
You're just disappointed.
No, because it was a hold. But I'm angry that we lost... a chance for an amazing end of the game. And the Super Bowl was great.
Yeah.
But let's give the Eagles a minute to go down the other end.
Yeah.
And let's see if they can win it or, you know, I think that'd been brilliant. And it wasn't the only hold in the game. And we've seen throughout the playoffs holds everywhere. And they're not given. Yet this one's given. And I do want, if this was not a Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers quarterback, would that hold have been given? Because Mahomes, first thing that he's throwing the ball, first thing he's pointing at the umpire going, that's a hold, it's a hold, it's a hold.
I think it was, at the time.
I can't be upset. It cost me some money.
Bragging rights.
It cost me, I was going to buy a turntable.
DJ Farrow.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
You'd already mentally spent that money.
I've already bought the fucking records. I just wish it was we didn't have so much time talking about the refs.
I think the thing is, when I saw it live, I thought, well, it did look.
We
a bit
all
like
thought
a
it
hold,
was ticky tacky,
but nothing. But then when I saw the replay, which showed his shirt away from the body. Normally, if the shirt comes away from the body, it's a hold. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, whether it was just that it was right in front of a judge, you know, a touch judge or whatever,
I don't know.
It was
because Mahomes pointed out as it happened.
And he pointed it out
and then the flag came late. Yeah. So that's why everyone's just pissed off.
But I think it's, you know, the thing was, that did not decide the game.
No.
You know, the punt return decided the game. The fumble decided the game. I know it was early in the game, but it stopped the Eagles, destroying them.
The Eagles getting no sacks.
Yeah.
McKinnon's smart play.
No, it wasn't just that. It was the coaching at halftime because
coaching overall.
At halftime, the Chiefs looked like they're in a lot
of
trouble.
Where Mahomes was injured. He re-aggravated the ankle injury on a Hassan Reddick hit. They're the only team to win from 10 points down at halftime other than
the Patriots,
which just tells you how good this team is. And they looked...
They'd only scored one offensive touchdown.
They scored one offensive touchdown, and they looked...
They did the same thing. Not good. Yeah.
They'd only had the ball for, seven minutes. Eight minutes.
Didn't look good. The Eagles looked really strong. Yeah, I mean...
So the Bradbury hold, in my opinion, is about 10th on the list of reasons why the Eagles didn't win this. Yeah. But like John says, it's annoying.
Can I throw out a potential I don't necessarily agree with this, but it is an angle. Nick Sirianni has had this reputation of being really aggressive on fourth down throughout the season. We saw a couple of fourth down
conversions. They went on fourth and five, didn't they, at one point, yeah.
There's a fourth and three. Admittedly, it was in their own half where they punted it, and that was the Kadarius Toney run back. And there was a fourth and six where he kicked a field goal to go 6 points up, I think it was. That after the Chiefs had already scored a touchdown, that's inviting the Chiefs to go down, score another touchdown, and go into the lead for the first time. Did Sirianni bottle it a little bit?
No. I don't think, because of the way the Eagles were playing at the time, I think I like how ballsy he's been on fourth down this year, but it's just you the Eagles were not moving the ball at that point.
The Chiefs defense were like a different team in the second
half. Yeah, I agree.
I think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes obviously were there when they beat the Niners. They came back from further behind, yeah. And I think they just knew what they needed to do. I think they knew how to adapt, how to change, and they kept believing the whole way through, quite clearly. And I think as soon as the Eagles went behind, I felt like the Chiefs were going to win.
I think it was
game.
A bit more of a, I guess...
That was the first time they faced adversity in the playoffs.
I was going to say, the Eagles have basically been... Not had an easy...
It was easy, let's be honest. It was easy.
It was easy.
It was. They played against the Niners Giants, team with no quarterback.
Exactly.
Three quarterbacks.
No
actual quarterback.
Three players playing quarterback.
Well, they had
a quarterback for what, four snaps or something?
Yeah. And they played a Giants team who'd gone one game too far.
Yeah. So I think they did have a very easy route through. That's not being harsh on them. No, it doesn't take away from what they did in the regular
Whereas
season.
Whereas the Chiefs had faced quite a lot of adversity throughout both the playoffs, but also through the season as well, I think.
You know, they beat the Bengals, you know, which, you know.
Not easy.
Not easy.
Do you not think, though, like, let's say for a second, ignore the Bradbury hold. Let's say McKinnon goes in for his touchdown. Does Hurts lead them down the field?
No, I didn't think he would at that point.
See, I absolutely think they would have won it. And it came down to who's going to be in the best situation with the ball in
their
hand
last. Who's got
the
ball last?
Now, they did get the ball last, but he had to throw like a 60-yard. It didn't go anywhere. It was incomplete. But with from a normal play perspective, if they'd have got the ball, I absolutely think they'd have done enough to win it.
Well, AJ Brown was quiet, but he went to him, he was brilliant.
He had one amazing catch. We spun all the way around
for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they win it.
I think Andy Reid had it figured out by then.
Maybe, but ultimately it came down to the two best teams in the league with the two best quarterbacks of the season playing the best games they've had all year. I mean, eventually somebody runs out of clock.
Do you know what? You say that. Mahomes didn't even have to have the best game he had all year. He only threw for like 180 yards.
Yeah.
That's true. But he was playing on one leg.
Yeah, he didn't also have to have the best game.
But it does
Pacheco had a great
if you look,
game.
I was
they
say,
started running the ball. They ran for 119 yards.
Pacheco finished with about 60 more yards than Miles Saunders. Yep. Saunders did nothing. He had his worst game of the season by a mile.
Now he's looking for a
2 yards
a
carry.
Yeah, they need to just bring in an actual running back. Josh Jacobs is available. Go get him.
But listen to us, right?
Do you know who is available?
Not so much
getting
to talk
much
about.
Love. Yeah. Alexander Mattison, who is always brilliant whenever he comes in for Dalvin Cook
They've
at the Vikings.
A decent draft pick. They could draft the best running back.
Yeah.
Go and get an absolute stud, because then he's there for 5 years and you haven't got to pay much for him.
But
Josh Jacobs, you probably have to pay a premium for him. Get Bijan Robinson out of Texas. He's brilliant.
Yeah, I've got I agree.
That's probably the most we've ever had to talk about a Super Bowl.
But yeah.
That was brilliant. It was fun.
Well, we're not finished yet. Because how shit was the turf?
That's an issue.
I think that's huge.
That's
one issue why there wasn't so many sacks. The edge players couldn't.
Reddick said it was the worst pitch he's played on, and it was at. That's what he
How
said.
Can
he,
that be allowed? Like,
well, yeah.
Apparently, it's been bad all season, hasn't it? They were trying some new grass, weren't they?
They were trying, this new something 31 turf.
No, but it's like when they introduce new balls for the Football World Cup, and you find out the Jubilani is shit. It's like, who's decided now is the time to don't introduce it now?
Yeah, but you expect that from FIFA.
The groundsman at Arizona, the Super Bowl groundsman, is 91 years old. I reckon it's time to pack it in, mate, because you've had a fucking shocker.
It's not like you haven't got the conditions to grow stuff in Arizona.
Exactly, yeah. You know, you can. And it's such a clever stadium. You move the pitch can move in and out. There's a roof. It was just appalling. And yes, yeah, I do think it probably cost the defense.
Yeah.
I think, but yeah, the only person who really didn't look affected was AJ Brown. You know, like whenever he got the ball, he could turn. Everyone else just wasn't as. It's a shame, but yeah. Anyway, is that enough Super Bowl?
Well, do you remember in our preview, and you did mention this earlier, we said it could come down to who has the best punter.
Yes.
So Townsend for the Chiefs averaged 31.5 yards a punt of his two punts. Aaron Sipos was for the Eagles, average of his two punts, 9 yards when you take into account the returns. And that is what that special is of ultimately teams. Special teams.
You've got to win on all
the Chiefs special teams absolutely
units.
Outplayed yeah. the Eagles.
Although Butker did miss a kick.
Butker did miss a kick, and it absolutely it did not affect him one jot. When he was given the chance to win the game, he just won the game.
Yeah.
He hit 5 out of 5 extra points. Yeah, good kickers miss kicks, and it doesn't affect them. That's the difference. Bad kickers miss kicks.
Especially if they can't stand up on that turf.
Yeah, and that definitely doesn't help. Yeah. But all in all, easily one of the best Super Bowls we have ever seen. Yeah. Like you say, New England, Philly before was brilliant. I really enjoyed back in the day, Niners, Ravens.
Was
brilliant.
Great
with
laugh.
The lights and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I know we lost.
It was drama. It had
a lot of drama in it, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. Like huge
Seahawks, Patriots, where Russell Wilson threw it away at the last minute.
Because I don't like either of those teams.
No, but it was funny watching the Seahawks lose in the last second.
That was good fun.
I mean, Pat's Falcons.
You could have just run in
Pat's
beast
Falcons,
mode.
It doesn't matter whether you like the Patriots or not. That was fucking incredible.
Yeah. That was, yeah.
I have to admit. There are some great Super Bowls. There are some
terrible ones.
Bad Super Bowls. I didn't actually mind last year. I thought last year was really good.
Last year was good.
Like, we really, like...
Last year was good, yeah.
But,
For those people who wanted more defense, go and watch Patriots-Rams. That was...
Pure defense. It was nothing but. If you enjoyed watching the 85 Bears or something,
then... Oh, the purists love this, yeah. But, you know, sports there to entertain.
Exactly, yeah.
Anybody want to comment on the halftime show?
It wasn't for us.
No, as John handily pointed out to
us,
we're old men, it's not for us.
Didn't enjoy it. Other people did, and I'm happy for them.
Yeah. They probably didn't enjoy.
I did go back through the entire list of Super Bowl halftime shows to work out which ones I'd have preferred, and I got back to like the 80s, or the very early 80s and the late 70s, where basically it was just like cabaret people that were local.
My favourite comments during the halftime show ranged from, why is she dressed as a hernia surrounded by spunk, to Gary saying, wouldn't you rather watch me take a shit on that platform than this? Those two things, and also Gary also saying, I'd rather watch Mike and the Mechanics, and John nearly throwing his chair in disgust. That was possibly one of my favourite events of the evening.
I mean, yeah. I think I'd just say at that point, you know,
you have to remember, like 10 minutes.
We're an old men. This is, you know, Rihanna is not for us.
I can mechanic over great whistling solo. that would really translate well.
I just felt the whole thing was a bit flat compared to last year. That was my only criticism.
It was. I found it strange.
Last year was really great.
I know a few Rihanna songs, so because you know I am old. And
Ponder replay.
Was it not the fact that she was basically just toasting to the songs? She wasn't actually singing most of it.
It
was all backing track.
Yeah.
That's what annoyed me.
And
the dancing was just off-putting.
She looked like a penguin that shat itself.
I mean, she's pregnant, 100 pregnant. Feet above the stadium on a Super Mario style platform. Like,
let's go.
Yeah. You know, all power. To it, it wasn't for us, but you know,
next year
when it's Mike and the Mechanics and the kids are moaning.
We decided on a new approach is that we're just going to watch Shakira and J-Lo every half time, and then watch the new one the next day.
Yeah, and then we'll when they're talking bullshit, we'll watch Prince again as well. Yeah. That was fucking brilliant.
I went back and watched the Who one from.
Yeah, Bruce is really good. Once again, none of these options are helping to dispel the
heartbreak. Yeah. Now dead.
Michael Jackson also dead.
So
Justin Timberlake's been on it about 4 times in different guises.
Number of searches.
His last one was so dull.
Number of searches for Rihanna's makeup brand, because she
sells it on fucking NFL.com now.
Yeah. The number of searches increased by 833% after the Super Bowl. So then that's why the artists do it for free.
Yes.
And that's also why I look so smooth.
Yes. I did see a tweet going, you know, Rihanna did the Tougher Times Super Bowl for free. So next time someone asks you to do something for exposure, maybe consider it. And I'm like,
They all do it for free.
John for exposure. Like
be in the wrong place like at the wrong
biggest
time.
Biggest advertising platform in the world.
Yeah. Like maybe not, you know, giving your services to free to some, you know, to a, you know, a small company because I might get seen by 40 people rather than 114 million people in the US.
Sure. Look, if they ask me to do the Super Bowl halftime show, I will say yes.
Yeah.
It will be amazing. Me and my electric drum kit on one of those floating platforms.
Your striptease.
Amazing. Magic Mike rides again. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Right. So you said before we started this, hang the halftime. We need to plow through because everyone's old and tired. So yeah, hang the break. Let's plow through. Derek Woo! Carr. Talk to me, people. Derek Carr.
Panthers.
Jobless.
He is indeed jobless. So Derek.
He's just in charge, isn't
Derek
he?
Derek Carr, right, cut by the Raiders charge, yeah. Day before the Super Bowl.
No, it was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Derek Carr.
Are a bunch of idiots, man.
Really? I played that so bad.
They have very badly handled this. They currently have Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
They don't. He's a free agent.
Oh,
he's a free agent.
They don't have a quarterback. We had an argument with our resident Raiders fan.
What the fuck was he talking about?
Oh, they could have got a first round. You're never getting a first round pick for Carr because A, you're not taking on that contract.
No.
Because it's not great. B, you know the Raiders don't want him. So why would you give? Why would you give up anything if you know that in 2 days' time he's going to be cut because they don't want him? That's because
he's not elite, is he? He's not top tier.
He's not top tier. He's middle tier. He's Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott.
Kirk Cousins.
It reminds me of I over lockdown I rewatched The Thick of It, which is a brilliant show. And there's a point where one of the ministers is fucked up, and they're like, "Oh no, you're going to fire me." And he's like, "No, you've only been here a short while. If I fire you now, it's on me. But if I fire you in 6 months, then it's on you." And to me, this is like what the Raiders have done. Basically, by not playing him for the final two games of the season, they've removed all trade value.
Yep.
By having this clause in his contract, then they've also got rid of any trade possibility. Because he still has a trade.
How did they think that was going to work? Look, mate, we don't want you, and we're going to make it really clear by not playing you.
Well,
and
then
we're going to try and trade you, right? Like, well, I don't have to go for a trade anywhere. Like,
this contract was arranged to bring in more cap space last year, so they could bring in Davante Adams, Chandler Jones, etc., etc., etc. And it's not bitten in the arse because the whole point is he has a very small cap value. They haven't paid him the $40 million. All that happens is they haven't got any trade value for him.
He's going to get more still, as well.
But he's going to get more. Yeah. So, but it is on the Raiders. They should have been able to trade this asset. Yeah. And no, basically they've done it to save $40 million.
So that $40 million for him would have been over 2 years. I think it's something like...
Yeah.
It was $23 million the first year and whatever else the second year. He's going to get more than $20 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
As a start. Someone's going to pay him 30, 35,
yeah,
maybe even 40.
Nah, 35.
No, I think you're right.
Well, there are some stupid teams.
There are some stupid owners out there.
Who these someones are, then?
Panthers.
Saints.
Okay, well, one at a time. Who do you think are the most likely suitors? Panthers well, first.
So the Panthers were trying to negotiate a trade. And apparently were getting somewhere before, obviously, he said no. Carr said, no, I'm going to be in charge of this. But he'd obviously been and met the team. So
he's met the Saints as well.
You wonder if Carr had gone, well, I do want to come, actually, Panthers, but... Let's not do this. Like, you know, you can just, you know, make out like you're trying to get a trade and I'll just come for whatever the number is.
Would it be funny if whilst... Because Carr can sign anywhere now because he's been cut.
Yeah. Whilst, to wait for free agency. Yeah.
So whilst Rodgers is in his solo retreat in the dark, you know, just...
to the Jets.
Top to tail in ayahuasca and I'd imagine jizz. If he joins the Jets, because let's not kid, the Jets are also owned by one of Johnson & Johnson, so they probably don't want to sign the guy who's against Big Pharma.
Yep.
All Rodgers wants is some drama to get a new to either retire or get a new contract from the Packers, make a bit more money. Carr should just go in, go to the Jets. The Jets have a team that Carr can help improve, and he will be in a good situation because, for once, he's been at the Raiders 9 years. They've had a good defense for one of those years,
yeah,
by accident, because Bisaccia galvanized the club in absolute shit circumstances. This, to me, that would make all the sense. Just, you know, have a word with the Jets, see what they're offering. He'd be an upgrade on all the quarterbacks they've had in the last 15 years. And they can then start planning their season now.
I don't like the Saints at the moment. They don't do much for me on offense. I just don't.
Oh, I don't know. I think we have a decent quarterback in there.
You've got Chris Olave. Chris Olave. You know, Kamara's, you know, up and
well, he's going to go to jail soon, isn't he? You
know. Kamara and Jacobs are quite similar, and that we know works with Derek Carr. So I think the Saints is a decent
defense.
I don't
as well,
really though. See what he can do with the Panthers right now as they are.
DJ Moore is a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's
much better than he looks because he plays with shit quarterbacks. I mean,
the Panthers have got a good defense as well.
Yeah. I think he should go to the Panthers or the Jets. Same, totally different.
So the thing with the Jets, what amuses me is the thought that maybe Green Bay should sign him and just say, Aaron, we've made the decision.
Yeah.
You're being fuck retired.
I don't think they can.
Neither do I. No. But that is.
And they have
that
to pay him like $59 million next year or something. That is ridiculous.
But if
for
he does.
They don't want. They
if
don't
he
want
does
him.
Move. If he does move and Derek Carr joined Green Bay suddenly would be quite good.
Yep.
Because he's not currently a downstep from last year's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is going to turn back up and take all of that fucking money that he negotiated. What do you think he's going to do?
I don't know.
He's not going to move.
No.
He's going to fucking be in the news, go on Pat McAfee, look like a twat, and he'll go back to Green Bay, like the sheriff, and take his $60 million. He's not going anywhere.
Okay, Colts. What about the Colts?
I feel like they've gone down this route
veteran
quarterbacks.
But they've also drafted Sam Ellinger, and he was rubbish.
Yeah, but they've got a relatively high draft pick. What, I think they're fourth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll be able to get a half-decent quarterback, won't they?
I don't know. Yeah, so I think for that reason...
They're out.
Falcons. Falcons is a possibility.
Falcons can afford to pay
enough Ridder.
Anything in the NFC South, you could any four of those
teams.
Well,
and then the Bucks.
Yeah,
the Bucks
are a shot.
The Bucks are a good shot.
The Falcons, and they've only played Ridder like two games.
Yeah, but imagine if you sit in for another season behind Derek Carr. But I think the Bucks are an outside shout here because everyone's saying, well, they're just going to sign Jimmy G because he can play Brady's offense, which he can. But he also falls apart 5 minutes into every season, whereas Derek Carr at least is a bit more reliable.
Yeah, he's fairly robust in terms of fitness. Yeah.
And so, if you put Derek Carr on the Bucks, they're a better team than they probably were right at the end of the Brady experience.
What about the other New York team?
I think there's a...
I like it.
I like it.
I think they're going to re-sign Daniel Jones.
I think we will re-sign Jones. Yeah. I think they like what he can do with his feet as well.
I think they'll sign Daniel Jones, but I think it will probably be the thing that slows him down in the next year or so.
And that leaves me...
I think they'll find their ceiling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we've found it. I've just looked how much Rodgers can earn this year. At the,
so it's $59 million, isn't it?
$77.92 million.
That's including his base. So his base salary, his prorated bonus.
What was his base? 59?
His base salary is $1.1 million, so it's not much. His bonuses is $15 and $14 million. His guaranteed salary is $59
million. There you go.
So
59 guaranteed. That's ridiculous.
So yeah, he's staying.
He's staying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one else wants to take on that fucking...
That leaves on my list the Texans, who are having a massive rebuild and have not great history with the Carr family, bearing in mind what happened to David, but...
I think for that very reason, he probably won't go there.
No, they're too far away. He's too late in his career to go to that bigger project.
Yeah, maybe.
Commies?
They seem set on Sam Howell.
I just don't know why anyone would want to go there.
They were one game away from the playoffs.
That's true. And with
a decent quarterback throughout the season, because Wentz came in, was shit. Heineke came in, met his ceiling, tailed off. They had the other guy. It's awful.
I can't see. Washington,
but you've also got McLaurin
to the playoffs next year. You're not going to get that division. Be that even again next year? I just don't think that's going to be the case.
Seems unlikely.
Seems likely, but
I think it kind of depends what the Giants do as to how well Washington can do.
I think the Giants can fall much more than the Commies next season because I think they've had not much.
So, going around the table, then you've got to pick a landing spot for Derek Carr. I will start with you, Gary.
I'm going to go Panthers.
Jim.
Saints.
John.
Jets.
I will say Saints as well. So, but it's a spread. And the point is, he's in control. And he is, I believe he is a better player than we maybe get to see at times. Like John said, the Raiders is a bad organization who's not had a good defense and have jumped around with, look at the drafting they did. Look at how they were run under Captain Racism. Like it wasn't great. John Gruden was there on a 10-year contract. The idea was they were supposed to make the playoffs and get in there like 8 out of the 10 years, and they did.
They did it once he left.
Yeah, because they are just not a well-run organization. So this is the thing. I think he's going to be looking for what's the best organization I can go to.
Yeah,
I don't know about the Panthers whether they are or not. David Tepper hasn't shown me enough yet.
Agree.
Commanders are a badly run organization. Jets are not a great run organization. Colts were, and then all of a sudden Ursa in the last 2 years has blown it. Falcons, I believe, are.
Yep.
Saints, I believe, are a well-run organization, but they've got themselves into cap.
They're in cap. They're 55 million over.
Bucks, I believe, are now, and it depends if they keep the same people in place. So that is what I think you're looking at. And Texans are a terribly run organization, but they have just started again. That's the only reason I included them on the list. But yeah, for me, it'll be the same.
I think the Texans is a fair shout to talk about. Just, yeah.
Not happening. Moving past Derek Carr, I want to talk about the Colts and what they've appointed to their coaching staff.
Yep.
Because that is quite an array of talent they've just appointed. Yeah, so how are we pronouncing it?
Steichen?
Shane Steichen?
Shane Steichen.
Sounds like something very German. Shane Steichen? I'll have two. Thanks very much. But have they not appointed Brandon Staley as well?
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I think I saw his name crop up. But yeah, so Shane Steichen, tell me about him, because I know nothing about this man, and this is what I ended up with Nick Sirianni when he got appointed. I was like, who? And it feels a little bit like one of these left field appointments where we can't assess it because we just don't know enough.
I don't know about that.
Go on.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Chargers in 2020 when Justin Herbert was the rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty decent year for the Chargers. And obviously he's been the offensive coordinator for the Eagles for the last 2 years. And basically they're not, obviously not the same quarterback, but they're not the same type of quarterback. So for me, that shows that he can adapt a game plan based on the talent that he's got, rather than being one of these coaches, Josh McDaniels, which is like, this is my game plan.
If you're Jonathan Taylor, you get quite excited about that.
Yeah,
look
at the run game, the Eagles. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And as well, what he can do with if they can get an offensive line coach, the offensive line there has potential. It's just been appalling. If they can get that back to where it should be, they could be fine. But yeah. His defense is Gus Bradley.
Colts team should be so much better than they are.
A lot will come down to who he does employ as his defensive coordinator, because I think he's already said that he's gonna call the plays on offense. So you'd expect him to be kind of a Kyle Shanahan type coach, where he was obviously head coach, but he's effectively the default offensive coordinator as well. So who does he bring in as defensive coordinator? I think that's a key thing, because there's some good pieces in that Colts defense still.
Mm.
I think
get a lot out of it. This could be, that Colts roster is decent.
It is really good.
Yeah. When they call their own plays, you can either go Kyle Shanahan or you can go Mike Ben McCarthy. McAdoo.
Or Mike McCarthy.
So
you don't want to go full McAdoo.
I don't care. He could go full McAdoo.
Absolutely.
Who, moving on to the Panthers, who was Frank Reich first a coach for?
First?
Yeah. Who was his first coach that he worked for?
Andy Reid?
No. It was Shanahan's. Jim Caldwell, who has now been appointed his assistant coach at the Panthers. This is a massive appointment.
Great coach.
Jim Caldwell is one of the most underrated coaches in the last 10 or 15 years. Got the Lions into the playoffs like 4 out of 5 years and got sacked. Fucking retards. Now, he's going to be back on a team that is struggling similarly to how the Lions have struggled for years.
Yep.
And he's going to help Reich whip this organisation into shape. Frank Reich should never have been sacked from the Colts. We've said this. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have stuck the course. He was entitled to a bad season or two, bearing in mind that they had all that turnover at quarterback. If they can get that key position right, the Colts will walk this division.
Yeah.
They just got to get that right. Like, the Texans are 3 years away from being
Texans,
any good.
Yeah, 3 years. Texans are out. I think the Jaguars are still going to be good next year.
Yeah, they're going to be good. That is the difficulty in the division.
That's the biggest speed bump.
I do like Pedersen. Pedersen is a
I agree. And the fourth team has now escaped me.
Titans.
The Titans, who are massively on the downswing.
Huge problems on the roster.
The Jags and Colts could be dicing this out if they get it right. But the Panthers now have got this very good mind, backed by another very good mind, and all they need is the quarterback, the same thing that he was lacking at the Colts.
The other thing they need is for David Tepper just to get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's another Jim Irsay. It's almost like for like. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Crazy.
They buy it as a toy, don't they?
Yeah, but I mean, Tepper was a part owner at the Steelers. He should look at what Pittsburgh owners do, because Pittsburgh owners are probably the best owners in the league.
They had three head coaches since 68.
Yeah.
Chuck Knoll.
And one of the most successful franchises. Chuck Knoll.
Bill Cowher.
Thank you.
And Mike Tomlin.
I could see the guy.
Like, that is crazy.
And look how much success they've had. Yeah. Like, through the 70s, maybe not so much the 80s, but certainly kind of late 90s, early 2000s. They were being a successful franchise. Six Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And Todd. Jeez, I can't speak today. What's the guy's name? Not Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Hasn't had a losing season.
No.
In how long?
Eight years?
No, longer than that. He's been there 14 seasons.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Been there a long time.
So, yeah, Tepper needs to look at that and go, right, you guys know what you're... I'm appointing you guys as football guys because you know football. Go do your job and I'll watch. That's all he has to do.
I like how Frank Wright's number two is called Deuce Staley.
Deuce Staley, that is who I meant, not Brandon Staley when I said Staley.
Yeah, but
Deuce Staley, running backs coach.
Do you want to talk about the other coordinator that got appointed?
Yeah.
So the Eagles' defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, is now the Arizona head coach.
I told Jim about this on Super Bowl night.
You did, yeah.
Went early, I did.
There you go.
I heard it on the grapevine.
Shane Steichen as well. We're comparing notes. So they've moved from an offensive head coach to a defensive head coach.
That's what bad teams do.
Sirianni now has no coordinators at all.
Well, I'm going to come on to that in a minute in terms of like where do the Eagles go from here, because they've got both coaching but also roster. The biggest question we had for Shane Steichen is who did he appoint as defensive coordinator. The reverse occurs for Jonathan Gannon. Who's the offensive coordinator? Because that offensive coordinator has got to be bought into Kyler Murray.
And this is the thing, right? Kyler Murray isn't going to be good enough. So somebody is going to lose their job.
He not be fit for the start of the season.
He's not going to be back for the first six games. So then Colt McCoy is who you're planning around.
Yeah.
Or Trace McSorley.
It's not good enough in that division. The Rams will not be as bad again next year. They just cannot be.
It's early for making predictions of who's doing what, but the Cardinals are going to suck.
Mate, you're right.
John, you take a time slot there of where Mike said the Cardinals are going to suck, just in case they're either really bad or really good, because you'll want either one of those back. But I don't know. I've never got invested in Kyler. He hasn't taken off. He was supposed to do what Jalen Hurts has done.
Yes.
And it doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't. It's not going to work because he's not invested. Too much money, and now he's holding up everybody. He's holding up Lamar's contract talks because everyone's looking at his deals and Watson's deal and saying, we want their sort of money.
Season's holding up Lamar's contract talks because he wants too much money guaranteed now.
Absolutely.
Didn't agree it early enough, and now no one wants to pay him because he doesn't play.
Because he's missed 10 games in the last two seasons. Yeah. Let's talk Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley can be reinstated from today.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley has missed the whole season because he got done for gambling.
Yeah.
He did not get accused of touching up a load of women in massage parlours. That only gets you an 11-game suspension. That is a massive, massive injustice. And I wanted to make sure that was brought up as it was in the first podcast of the season, because the Deshaun Watson case has gone very quiet, and let's not pretend it just went away.
No,
people just stop talking about it and move on, and that's not okay.
No. And
But was very much.
Especially like this weekend, you've seen the prevalence of DraftKings gambling now.
Yeah.
With the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And yet.
Well, most of us around this table had a bet on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I won. You lost.
I won.
I covered my tracks, but not my big preseason bet.
I don't have any moral objection. You know, I can't use apps, so I don't gamble.
I only bet on about two things a year.
Like, I already lost my house and my life. I don't need to be gambling again.
Just a big gamble.
I bet on that.
John was quitting.
Yeah. Well, how do you think I bought my car? The more you look at it, the more it stinks. And I'll be glad to see him back. I hope he is approaching the player he was, because I think Calvin Ridley was electric. Mm.
Yeah, he was.
I think he will be. I think he'll be.
And
brilliant.
In that offense, he's now also Lawrence, with the Jaguars. In that offense with Peterson,
yeah,
that's fucking exciting.
That's a great signing for them.
Yeah,
yeah, fresh off a year's rest.
They don't lose. If he's shit, they'll get rid of him, and they probably hardly cost him anything. And if he's great. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Win-win.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What else you got?
So let's talk about the Eagles. So obviously they've lost the
Losing all these coordinators.
They've lost both the coordinators.
Miles Sanders is free agent.
I'm going to go through, Jim. Yeah, I'll go through some of the highlights.
Being all premature again.
The highlights of their roster.
Too much cream pie.
Is now kind of moving into free agency. So we've got four defensive tackles. Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargreaves, Duncan Sue and Linville Joseph.
What's his name?
And Duncan Sue.
Just checking.
And Linville Joseph are all free agents.
About when someone has a stroke on a production.
Robert Quinn, Brandon Graham are also free agents.
That's Jesus Christ.
They were in win now, weren't they? Jalen Hurts. They spent big because Jalen Hurts was on a rookie contract.
Jason Kelce.
Free agency? Come on down.
Well, Hargreaves, Graham, Sumalo, Bradbury, they've all got contracts that go on, but they're all void years. And so actually Javon Hargreaves still counts towards the cap this year. So to bring him back isn't as expensive as it seems. Same with Brandon Graham, Sumalo, Bradbury. Like these players they can bring back. They are $8 million under the cap. So it isn't as bad as it seems. But they have got to pay Hurts.
Miles Sanders, and Boston Scott.
Well,
be Kyler Murray money, isn't he? It's got to be $50 million a year.
Yeah.
Even if they do, it would probably be an extension to his contract, so it won't hurt them until next year.
Zach Pascal is another one.
I think they're fine.
The tackle.
Zach Pascal.
Kazir White, the linebacker. Yep. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. There's a lot of players.
Like Gary said, they were in win now, and now it could be win sometime.
Well, I mean, this is the moment where Harry Roseman, who's had an amazing couple of years as an executive, this is where he needs to weave his magic.
And we'll see what Sirianni is made of, because he had a poor...
Exactly.
Okay first season, a brilliant second season. What's he going to be like next year?
I mean, you look back at kind of the Falcons after their Super Bowl appearance... Obviously, they lost Kyle Shanahan and another load of players, and they haven't been the same. I hope that doesn't happen to the Eagles. Cause
the same for the Rams, though. Yeah. Like they lost a few players, not all to free agents.
Coordinators.
And it changes teams. It really does.
It'd be an interesting watch. Hopefully, they're as good as...
Three quarters of the reason the Patriots struggle so badly is because they lost Josh McDaniel. You're losing coordinators is massive.
It makes a big difference.
Andy Reid's kept Eric Bieniemy all these years. How the fuck has that happened?
Well, he might be moving.
Yeah, he might be moving. I think he has to move because it's almost a crime that he doesn't get a head coaching gig. But I think that's because...
There's nothing left, is there?
Well, everyone looks... Well, he can't go to head coach, but he's been rumoured to go to the Commanders as offensive coordinator. I think he has to move out of Andy Reid's and Patrick Mahomes' shadow. Because I think that's the big...
That's a disgrace, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, he's interviewing with them tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it.
Basically, if Ron Rivera doesn't start the season well, they're basically saying,
you're
ready to go. That's what that is, isn't it?
But Andy Reid's come out and said he needs to move on because he's not getting head coach jobs because
everyone associates it with me. Yeah. Who was the offensive coordinator before the enemy?
Nagy.
Matt Nagy.
Who's in the building.
Yeah, but I assume
he's working the bins or something. Is he in the building?
Assistant head coach. But they look at what Matt Nagy didn't do at the Bears, And that's then a worry.
Don't forget, Matt Nagy made the playoffs several times.
Twice.
2-4
Yeah.
But we still...
we poo-pooed it. Yeah. But he actually made Trubisky look half decent half the time.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, hard work.
Melvin Gordon got a Super Bowl ring.
Melvin Gordon. Did he? Was he on the match day 53?
I don't know.
I don't think he didn't play. He didn't play. He didn't make an appearance in the game.
I think he still gets a ring.
I think he probably does. I think you get a ring if you work in the kitchens. Like, everybody gets a ring.
Yeah. I think
I'm getting one because I watched the game.
Well done.
Thank you.
I think you need more bling.
You got financially screwed, though.
I did indeed.
Yeah.
I did. Let's talk about my ring.
Better than ring getting screwed.
Yeah.
That was afterwards.
That would have been less painful. that would have been less painful, less damaging.
I lubed.
I felt nothing. Shocker. Right. Moving on from my asshole. Or John, as his otherwise known.
I've got nothing more to add. Has anyone else got anything?
No, I don't think I do.
I think we're good.
This is normally the time of the season where we do our like awards. We'll come back. We're going to have some time off.
We did that last week as well.
We sort of did that last week, but I did have some awards to give for some of the stupidity we've had.
I'd quite like to have a review of the all the bets and see how much money Paul owes me at some point as well.
There'll also be a pre-draft power rankings to be done.
Exactly. And as well, I think we need to take stock of the season, come back, because there's been some teams that overperformed. There's been some teams that shat the bed.
Before you do go
and
there,
I feel we need to...
Who is your most disappointing player this season? Because I'm going to pick
Aaron
one...
Aaron Donald.
Good shout. I'm going to pick one that I don't think anybody else is going to agree with. But with all the hype that came with it, and considering the coaching he landed with, Kenny Pickett wasn't very good.
He got better as it went on.
Yeah, but he wasn't very good.
I never bought into it.
Nah.
Aaron Donald. First year quarterback as well. It's
I know, but meh.
Carl Pitts.
Ooh, Carl Pitts was rubbish.
Really expected more from him.
Marcus Mariota was
frankly. But I still expected more from him in the second season. We often say tight ends need a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson always works on.
No, because he wasn't disappointing because we knew he was going to be shit.
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, yeah, just none of it worked. But I do like the Kyle Pitts one. I think the days of him going in the top 20 in fantasy drafts are well over.
Yeah. Depends who they land a quarterback.
The thing is, he'll go like
top 40,
20th round now. Next year, and he'll be fucking amazing.
I think people will still take a fly on him.
Yeah, you will.
But well, we're gonna have some weeks off. We'll come back. We'll take stock of the season. But until then, we'll see you soon, and hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. See you soon.
Bye.